Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast, a podcast where we look at this crazy, confusing, and often heartbreaking world through the lens of Scripture, that is to say, a Christian worldview, so that we can make sense of our existence. What we do is we weigh the truth claims and assertions of the culture in the scales of God's unchanging world. All of which brings us to today's topic, hard decisions, a dead son or a living trans daughter. This is a difficult choice that parents are often given in the emergency room at a hospital or the psychiatric ward after their trans son or daughter or transitioning son or daughter has tried to harm themselves. Often a healthcare professional, a psychiatrist, a social worker, or even the child themselves will say, "What would you rather have, me happy or dead? A dead son or a living trans daughter?" Or vice versa. Hard decisions indeed. Shifting gears for a moment, I'd like to take us back to the COVID crisis. The church I serve in reopened, some would say prematurely, during the crisis because it became obvious to us at least that the government measures were neither effective or really honest. During this time, I received an email from an hysterical young woman who said, "You're killing people," in all capital letters. Her thesis was, because our church had reopened, we didn't love people and that we were killing people through our recklessness. Of course, the sad irony is that none of our people contracted COVID during this time. And it was until well after the time all churches reopened and the society went back to something resembling normalcy that some people caught COVID. And this took place after the Supreme Court of the United States had delegitimized the illegal practices of the state of California and particularly the health officer in San Jose or Santa Clara County, Sarah Cody. Was our action unloving? Well, you decide. We delivered hymnals to old people who were shut-ins who were afraid to come out so that we could have online hymn sings for them. We picked up prescriptions and delivered them to homes. We delivered meals. This was during the shutdown and afterwards. You see, some people still weren't comfortable with coming to church, and so we did everything we could to facilitate them. We live-streamed our services. We went to 3 services and spread everybody out in our cavernous worship centers so that they could social distance as much as they needed. And we made it clear to everyone that everyone was welcomed. Welcome to stay home and watch online. Welcome to come and social distance. Welcome to wear masks as long as they wanted to, and some did long after the crisis had subsided. We saw to it that yards were taken care of. We did whatever we could to take care of our people. Was that unloving? But the issue was the choices we were presented with. It's unloving to reopen during COVID, or it's loving to stay closed during COVID. That was a false dichotomy. That's a rhetorical trap many people fall into today, where you prescribe only 2 possible choices and insist that one choose the so-called lesser of 2 evils. Oh, the lies that people will believe in a crisis in a pinch, or the lies that will be foisted upon them. It reminds me of something that Adam and Eve heard in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? And then the serpent goes on to say, "You surely will not die, for God knows that when you partake of this fruit, you'll be like him, knowing the difference between good and evil." This is something resembling the sales job that goes on in crises like this. False dichotomies, false hypotheses, and forced decisions. Which brings us back to the question, would you rather have a dead daughter or a happy trans son? Well, let me ask you a question. Are those the only 2 choices? No. This is a cynical act of manipulation. It does not appeal to logic or reason or truth or science. It appeals to emotion, crisis, and hysteria. It's like saying, "You're killing people." You have 2 choices, open or close, let your son or daughter die or let your son or daughter transition, because otherwise they're going to be unhappy or they may harm themselves. And that's what our activist culture does these days, from the medical profession to the pharmaceutical profession to the psychiatric profession to all of these services. They inflict these false choices on grieving parents and relatives after a suicide attempt or some sort of emotional breakdown. A dead son or a happy trans daughter? Which would you choose? The fact is, as many lawsuits today are showing, that the transition does not solve any problems. Really, problems are portable. They go with you wherever you are, however you dress, whatever you look like. And so in these countries like the United Kingdom, where their health services no longer just blanketly approve these transitions, or in Sweden and other places who pioneered these surgeries. Now they've put it all on hold because they're finding the results weren't as they had predicted. And rushing to judgment is unloving, that is to say, harmful. And remember, these surgical changes are permanent. These puberty blockers have long-term and lasting results. Rush to judgment and you cannot undo them. A dead son or a happy trans daughter? Let's dig a little bit deeper here. Gender dysphoria was once nearly the exclusive province of younger men. Now it's up 4,000% among female teens. Why is that? That's a statistical impossibility. You have children, young girls coming out in a classroom, four or five friends coming out as trans now. That's impossible. What's the cause? Some would say a social contagion spread through social media, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, where there are these influencers talking about how this is great. And so these girls, uncomfortable with these changes in their body, choose to change their bodies in other ways so that they don't have to wrestle through what girls have wrestled through for generations, and boys too, changes that accompany adulthood, awkward changes. And so instead of coaching them through this, we surgically remove the problem. Is that loving? A dead daughter or a happy trans son? Who would choose a dead daughter? But frankly, who would rush to choose a so-called happy trans son? How can you be guaranteed they're going to be happy? How do you know this is the case? Says who? A happy trans son. Christian scruples aside, who can guarantee happiness? And if self-harm is so imminent and they are so emotionally unstable, is this time to rush into a giant, irreversible surgical option? What loving parent would be so rash in a moment like this with an emotionally unstable child to authorize this type of surgery? What kind of guidance counselor or teacher or healthcare professional would counsel this? A dead daughter or a happy trans son? The answer, of course, for the Christian is neither. Emotions come and go. They flow in and out like the tides. They change like the weather. What should you want? A dead daughter or a happy trans son? What would God want? How about that question? How would you know what God wants? You'd look in God's Word. That's radical. Let me jump back to what the experts say. The experts say in almost all 50 states that a 10-year-old child is too young to get a tattoo. I read an article back in October of 2022 where a mother was arrested. Child Protective Services intervened because the mother authorized a tattoo for her 10-year-old daughter. And the school teacher and the guidance counselor notified the authorities. The reason for the intervention is a child of this age is not equipped or prepared to make a decision that permanently alters their body. Think about that for a moment. Think of the logic and the reasoning. The same social worker, the same school teacher, the same department of CPS, Child Protective Services, would argue in favor of transitioning the child surgically if she wanted to change genders. How crazy is that? So think about the experts and the authorities next time you debate a topic like this. The times they are a-changing, and they're not changing for the better. But here's some additional questions. Did they talk to the mom before they could notify the police, before they notified CPS? Did they call the mom in? And it just doesn't make sense. And so we come back to the question, a dead son or a happy trans daughter? Well, don't look to the authorities and don't look to the experts. Look to God. And the answer is neither. Reject the hypothesis. This is a rhetorical trap. It's a cynical attempt to manipulate your emotions in a time of crisis. And I am not playing down this crisis at all, or the emotions or the mental health issues that may be real. But God does not accept their hypothesis either. Reject what God rejects. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And God saw all that He made, all that He prescribed, all that He designed, all that He declared, and behold, it was very good. So what am I saying? Don't fall into the trap of trusting men and women with an agenda in this crisis. Don't accommodate your child's confusion or delusion or the pressures of a culture that denies God, particularly the God of the Bible. Embrace the trial, as it talks about in James 1:2-8. Trust God in the trial. trust God even when life hurts. And let me encourage you to do two other things. One, come to our website. We're hosting a conference on holy sexuality by Dr. Christopher Yuan, author of Out of a Far Country, and he talks about his journey, which is similar to the journey that many of your sons and daughters may be facing, and he gives us ample insight into these kinds of dilemmas. This is free, but you have to register online so that we can plan for attendance. We may or may not post it online afterwards, so please try to attend in person if you can. We will be providing some child care for ages 0 to 4, but 50 slots are limited there for child care. And if you won't or can't come, there is a longer discussion on this topic on our website under sermons. You can look under media and sermons, and there is a sermon on May 19th entitled, Who Am I? And it talks about identity. It's 40 minutes well invested, and let me encourage you to listen to that. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Please share this podcast with your friends. Like us, post us, or repost us on social media. Give us a good rating, whatever platform you listen to. And if you have questions, please email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com. This is Keith Crosby signing off. Until next time, may God bless you and God keep you.